Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. If you go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsor information and pay us $20, we'd say something nice about you here. We'd compliment you on that hairstyle, or no, we'll probably just say your name. Or if you'd like to contribute to our legal fund, you can go to gofundme.com/nerdandtie.
On this Fortnite edition of Nerd and Tie, Marvel's new Warriors is looking for a new network. We have a Shazam for the Shazam movie. CBS wants to bring back the Twilight Zone. We review Thor Ragnarok, and a Comic-Con in Libya was shut down by an armed militia. All that and the mailbag on this Fortnite Nerd and Tie.
Exciting.
Excellent. Actually, some of this is fun news. This is a good mix. Welcome, friends, allies. Lend us your ears, for we have returned. It is another edition of Nerd and Tie.
It's exciting.
It's extremely exciting. Yeah. Still excited to be here. The only person who's actually seen the Thor movie. We have him.
Yes, I'm the only one in the whole country that's seen the movie.
You're the only one.
Whole country. Yep.
It's true.
Yeah, you got that's primo true. Access.
Primo. It's true. I can prove it in space.
And I'm mildly annoyed by the slight ground loop we're getting right now, but we can't do anything about it, and hopefully it'll go away.
And
that's the fun of
commenting on that primo
buildings.
Access. Powerful as ever, the wise wizard Tolkien didn't write nearly enough about Genrock.
Oh man, I just got to the ends in the second movie, and I'm just like, "Baroom."
I was gonna say, I know you were doing your Lord of the Rings rewatch. You're into Two Towers at this point.
Yep. Yeah, okay. I started a little late, and we just met Treebeard, and he is my favorite, aside from Sam.
Such a good movie.
I'm just like, yes, squish the orcs with your feet. So good.
Satisfying. And I am Nick Izumi, and speaking of Sam, I did not recognize him at all in Stranger Things 2.
Really?
That out there.
Wow.
Didn't recognize him at all.
You didn't recognize Sean Astin?
I didn't.
I can recognize him anyway.
Wow. He was the most Sean Astin-y Sean Astin's ever been.
Right?
All my favorite TV shows I've been watching this year, it seems that Hobbits managed to sneak into. I got Sean Astin in that. I had Elijah Wood on Dirk Gently. It's great.
Oh, I still have to see that.
You gotta watch that first season.
Check out Max Landis's Dirk Gently. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's such a great show.
I'm going to fix this buzz in the sound, so we're all going to stop talking for 2 seconds here, because no one's going to hear you if you keep talking until I say go. Go.
All right. Well, now that we've talked about TV and such, and how happy I am to be talking to both of you this fortnight, I'd like to, I guess, transition into our first story, which is about TV.
Hooray!
Hooray indeed. So, Marvel's New Warriors, that goofy project they have, starring Squirrel Girl, our live-action Squirrel Girl, needs to find a new network.
Yep.
Yeah, the original network that it was going to be on, remind me, Trey.
Freeform
will not be able to run it in 2018, and Marvel wants it on air by then, so they gotta find a new home for it. Which is only
back. Keep going.
It's only problematic because Disney really wants it run on one of the channels that they, you know, control. So
Yeah. So rumored. So the main thing is that we know that Disney is, I gotta quick flip a switch here. I'm really sorry, people at home hearing that buzz. That's driving me nuts.
I'm not hearing it, so I guess it's going out.
You can't hear it because it's not on your end. It's on the end going to the recording equipment.
Okay.
And so that's why, That's why it's a little frustrating. It keeps coming back. I just have to live with it. All right. So, so what happened is that, they wanted to air in 2018 on Freeform. It was ordered straight to series, and it's apparently tested incredibly well internally at Disney. And so they wanted to air in 2018 That's no matter good. What. But, the problem is that, Freeform didn't have room on their lineup in 2018 for the show.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay. So they're supposedly shopping it around like to other networks. Now, that's what we know for sure. That is confirmed. That is 100% confirmed. Now, there's a rumor that Disney denies. Disney and Marvel deny this rumor publicly, but there's a rumor that they're not allowed to shop it outside of Disney-owned networks.
Okay.
Which includes Freeform and ABC and, you know, because Freeform used to be ABC Family. So that's the, that is the ongoing issue. Like, if they're like, and but that also brings into light a couple other problems. Like, then what's the if Marvel is no longer allowed to sell shows outside of the Disney owned networks, what does that mean for the future of Netflix shows?
Yeah, that is curiouser.
Or Hulu with Hulu's launching Runaways, pretty soon, and that means though that there's no hope for Hulu to expand its Marvel footprint beyond that.
I think they should, honestly, I think they should just look at sending it to Hulu because, honestly, I don't know.
Well,
I watch the everything I see for Runaways makes me pretty excited for it, so it'd be a good right. complementing series.
Yeah. So, it's a question, and, I want to see, now, there's also another, one of the proposed theories is to hold it back for the Disney-owned streaming service, but then it still wouldn't air until 2019. But right. it means that it would be incentive for people to sign up for the Disney owned streaming service.
No more streaming services.
Yeah. We're gonna try the switch flip one more time. That makes the buzz go away for brief periods of time. There. Okay. So let's hope this holds out.
I'm already frustrated that Legend of the Galactic Heroes thing that I was all excited about last yeah. year, that it finally has a legal release, right now is only on a streaming service that Sentai Filmworks provides. I'm not buying another streaming service. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
I'm
the
not.
Whole thing. Is it's like something's got to be huge for me to sign up for a series. You know, it's like Star Trek got me to sign up for CBS All Access, but you can bet your sweet ass that's getting canceled the moment the season's done airing. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's oh, the buzz is back. Oh, I shouldn't have pointed it out. Now the listeners are going to notice the buzz. Anyways,
terrible.
This just really sucks, guys. Like,
well, I'm just hoping that it gets to the point where these companies realize, like, wait a second. Maybe, like, putting out all these streaming services, like, isn't the right thing, because we keep putting them out, like, onto different services, but nobody's buying them. Oh, wait, like, that's my hope, is that eventually it'll get so saturated that they'll just, like, stop. Well, and we just keep, like, three.
Yeah, like, I can't keep signing up for streaming services, and I'm not going
no.
to.
Yeah,
no, I've honestly resigned myself to, like, you know what? I'm probably never going to see that show, whatever it is, just because, like, I can't afford to, like, spend all this money on all these different services. I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm gonna deal with what I got and be happy with it. And I feel like that's what a lot of people are feeling as well. So.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to attempt to remove this buzz in post-production because it is not going away, and sorry for the live people watching on YouTube where it's going to be there permanently. We're all going to be quiet for 2 seconds here so I can get an audio sample. All right, so hopefully all of this will be me complaining about sound problems on the audio version that you can't hear, because I'll try to get rid of it in post, which I normally don't have to do on the show. And technology is being annoying today. And I can't figure out why. Oh, yeah. Anyways, so, yeah.
Internet gnomes.
I don't want to sign up for Disney streaming service to watch New Warriors. The fact is that if it had aired on Freeform, well, I don't get Freeform on my particular package. Freeform shows usually end up on Hulu. And so, like, that would have been my thing. That was my plan. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's just getting... I know that some people are probably sick of us bringing it up, but yeah, I just can't keep signing up. I have no interest in, signing up for Verve. I have no interest in signing up for whatever
DC's going to call their thing,
whatever DC's going to call their thing, or, whatever the hell Sentai Filmworks anime thing is. And that hurts to say, cause
yeah.
I have friends who work for Sentai Filmworks, but I'm sorry, I can't. I can't.
Yeah, it's, I honestly, like, I've got Netflix, I've got Hulu, I've got Amazon. I'm paying for CBS All Access right now, but CBS All Access I could justify in the sense that, like, I don't get CBS over the air, so on the off chance they ever do start running a show on CBS that I want to watch, it would be the only way for me to get it as a cord cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just can't get CBS over the air in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Like, I get, you know, CW, yeah, CW is not on the paid streaming services, but they offer a free app that works on my Roku. So, you know, even though their commercials are at inconsistent volumes, I can watch, you know, that. Like, I'm done signing up for more. Like, yeah, I'm not signing up for HBO now. I'm not. I've just given up on watching any HBO shows. You know, but at least with HBO, it was like they were always a thing. Like, yeah, I paid mm-hmm. for Showtime for the length of I signed up for Showtime most of the way through the run of Twin Peaks. And then I watched like the first 13 episodes of the season on a free preview weekend. And then that, which, to be fair, got me to sign up for Showtime to finish the season, and I watched that and episodes final season, and then canceled my Showtime. And it's like, what's going to end up happening is that I'm going to have a spot in my budget for service of the month that I'm going to pay and cancel, and then watch the next show on the other service, and then pay and cancel. It's the only way that I could possibly do this. But, you know, here's the thing. You know what? The Netflix and Hulu are going to get my money every month.
Mm-hmm.
CBS All Access, if, you know, on the off chance Showtime does another season of Twin Peaks, which I don't think is going to happen, but if it does happen, that'll get me to sign up for Showtime for a month. But I'm never going to be a consistent subscriber, because it's just, at that point, it's paying for cable. And the whole reason I'm doing this is I don't want to pay for cable. You know? I pay for Sling to get my Walking Dead.
But speaking as someone who is not in a great financial place, it's just not reasonable.
Yeah.
I'm sort of like, it's especially frustrating with all these streaming services that are like doing shows that are clearly gunning for our demographic. And it's like, I don't have money for this, you assholes. I understand that every politician doesn't want to address the student loan crisis, but, you know, I'm still in it.
You'll notice the one network that is clearly aimed at people under 30 is the CW, which made their thing free.
Uh-huh.
And to be fair, you get what you pay for, but it's still free. Like, they were smart enough to know the people who watch our shows can't afford to pay for another service.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, the CW, because I watch, I would say, 75% of their lineup, that's the one channel I probably would pay for.
I know. It's
like on its own. So, man. So that's why I don't want this to end up on the Disney streaming service, and let's hope and pray it finds its way onto a pre-existing thing. Because if not, just... I hate the fact that Disney is doing their whole plan to pull all their stuff onto their own service in the first place.
Stupid. I hate it.
I'm not going to sign... Like, I really want to watch the new season... Like, when DC launches the platform, I'm just going to be annoyed because I can't watch Titans and I can't watch Young Justice because I'm no way in hell am I paying for that. Like, those... Like, CBS got me with Star Trek. Like, they knew where the money... They're like, here's the one property that I will pay for. But
that's fair. And
but
I,
that's
I
it. Just,
I feel like we need to move on, and DC is a good jumping off point. But you know, I want to move on eventually. But I do want to say, I do feel on that topic of streaming services, I feel betrayed in regards to DC streaming services, because I spent several real life years campaigning for a new season of Young Justice. This just feels like a kick in the junk.
Yeah.
You know, I campaigned real life years for that, like up until I got my house and I didn't have a ton of disposable and I don't have a ton of disposable income anymore. I would be going to the store to pick up the brand new, you know, straight to video DC movie every time one of those came out.
Yeah.
Especially the Titans related ones, you know, doing that hint, hint, this is what I want. And it just feels like a kick in the junk. Sucks.
Well, that's because it was one. You know, it wasn't the kick in the junk to move us on to another topic.
What?
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh boy.
I'm the only one of us who's seen it so far on the show.
The only one in the country.
The only one in the country. We established this. You think you've seen it, but you haven't seen it. So Thor Ragnarok came out this weekend, and surprise, surprise, it's super good. Like, the first Thor was good, but the second Thor, The Dark World, is often considered by many to be kind of one of the low points of the MCU. Like, I still liked it, but I don't think
it's an entertaining movie, but it's kind of Iron Man 2-esque.
It's kind of forgettable in every way, shape, and form. I mean, Iron Man 2 at least had whiplash chewing scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. But, so we got the third Thor, which is in many ways a complete reboot to the Thor corner of the universe. Gone is Jane Foster and our human trio of Jane, her assistant, played by Kat Denning, and Eric Selvig, are nowhere in this film. They're just completely absent, and it's explained that, you know, Thor and Jane broke up between films. Nothing shocking there, but it's... A lot of stuff happens in this film, and so I'm going to attempt to talk about this completely spoiler-free. It is probably one of the funnier Marvel Cinematic Universe films.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, it's like a lot of the earlier Thor movies where Thor was kind of comedic in the first one, and while he's always been kind of, you know, he's always made jokes, his films have been quite serious, you know, especially if you take The Dark World. Like, that's the first one had a lot of humor, but the Thor of The Dark World just really didn't really feel. Well, like, Kat Dennings' character brought a lot of humor in Thor of The Dark World, but we didn't get a lot of that from...
I guess what I meant is from my previous experience with Taika Waititi, then.
Taika Waititi, and he plays a fairly prominent character who's pretty... great and made out of rocks.
That's fantastic.
There's a lot of improv in this movie. There's a lot of jokes. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really solid. There are times where I don't know, like it's you're watching kind of a you're watching a comedy with action elements is really when you watch this film.
Okay.
Like, I feel like the stakes are high, but there are some times where because of the lighter tone, like there's a particular scene that I'm thinking of that I'm not going to explain what happens, but I know that the intent was to make it feel like the stakes were raised, but so little time was spent establishing certain things in this film that it like you would miss it if you weren't paying like someone who walked into this movie without seeing the earlier Thor movies at all, which there it's entirely possible at this point that there are people who would go into this only, you know, having watched other MCU movies, but not having necessarily seen Thor the Dark World or Thor. And so you wouldn't understand why something was supposed to, a particular thing was supposed to have been important.
Right.
Oh, it was directly established that the Infinity Gauntlet on Asgard was a fake. They did canonically establish that. That's not much of a spoiler, although it does involve Cate Blanchett walking up to it and going fake and kicking it over.
That's funny. I like that. Yeah. Yay, continuity fixes.
But like there's just so like the performances are good. The like all of the cast put in really good performances. I feel like overall it's a really enjoyable movie, and at the end point of the film I think is a really important lead into Infinity War if you made sure to stay past the credits.
Who doesn't at this point?
There are people, man, like
I know, but they suck.
Okay,
I'm
and
sorry,
and this
I'm
was the this was the
now.
Mid because there's a mid credits and there's an after credits. The after credits is just funny. Like, if you don't see the after credits, you don't miss anything plot important. But the mid-credit one sets up a shot to set up Infinity War. Although the casual filmgoer might not realize that's what it's doing, those of us who are, like, kind of have a general, like, bigger picture. Like, it's really obvious for that. And there are these people who leave! Like, I was in a pretty packed theater, although I'm the only one who saw the movie. I was in a pretty packed theater, and a whole bunch of people just got up and went.
I know, drives me nuts. Absolutely
and
drives
I'm like,
me nuts.
The movie's not over yet. Like, Guardians had five credit scenes.
We've done this 17 times.
Right.
Well, I think only one movie didn't have
new.
A post-credit scene. I think one film in the entire franchise didn't have a post-credit scene. Like a post-post.
I guess.
I'm trying to remember which one it was.
I think Age
it was
of
Ant-Man?
Ultron might not have had anything at the very end.
It was either Age of Ultron or Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. It was. I mean, it wasn't like, I think they had a mid-credits, just they didn't have an after-credits. I think it was Age of Ultron. I think you're right. I think it was Age of Ultron because, I think they wanted to, but couldn't. Like, they just, like... I think it was because there was an intention to do, like, a Spider-Man reference, but they didn't, like, weren't completely done with the contract by the time the film had to go to print. But, anyways. So, Thor Ragnarok. So, it's very much a tonal reboot of Thor. It is much more in lines with the Guardians of the Galaxy corner, like tonally, the first Guardians.
Okay.
Except it's more jokey than that.
Weird.
Well, and partially it's just because Peter Quill is taking things more seriously. Well, it's the way Thor deals with things, like as a person,
right.
The way he talks. Like the opening shot, it starts with Thor hanging in a cage. And going, oh, I bet you're wondering why, you know, how I got here. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it, like, and making jokey references to his situation. It turns out he's talking to the skeleton who's in the cage with him. So it's not actually a voiceover like it sounds like.
Oh.
And so it sounds like it's an after-the-movie voiceover, but it's really just him in the cage literally talking to a skeleton that's in the cage with him.
Oh, jeez.
But it's like... And it ends like in a scene, and like we're talking about seeing the first 5 minutes of the film here, so I don't feel right. like this is spoiler territory, but it ends up on a chain talking to this other character, and he's hanging from the chain and slowly turning, and so when his back starts facing the kind of bad guy character he's in the scene with, he insists that the bad guy stop talking. Wait, I'm not turning this on my own, I swear, he's just doing this. And all the, like, it's immediately like jokey, and I like it, but like I don't know. Like I don't know if I want, you know what, okay, so the problem mm-hmm. is I really like the light tone of Guardians. I love the light tone of Guardians. Right. And mm-hmm. I think that's really held up well in those two films. But I always kind of felt like I don't want all my Marvel movies to be like that. You know what I mean? Like, I want the stakes to feel real and high, and I feel like this works.
You need serious to balance out the jokey, so that right. the serious is more serious compared to it, and the jokey is more jokey compared to that.
Yeah.
You need the balance.
Yeah, and like, so, like, my fear, like, so I enjoyed this movie a lot. I want to be really clear. I really like this movie. I don't know if I want more movies like this, though.
I think a lot of that is very much the direct result of Taika Waititi, though.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of movie he makes. Like, have you looked at the rest of his filmography?
Well, yeah, no, it's, I mean, I know.
It's, this isn't exactly
what we do in darkness. Like, or whatever, the vampire
yeah.
one with
Jermaine. What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows, sorry.
Thing, I cannot... I wasn't going in expecting it to be... Or I haven't seen it yet, but I'm not going in expecting something super serious.
Yeah, no,
I don't think that that's what you can expect from that director.
Right. But I think, you know... There's a trend in the Marvel movies. Like, they've never been like super serious. Most of them haven't been super serious, with the mm-hmm. exception of like the Captain America movies and like the Incredible Hulk. And I feel like the Avengers movies in many ways have good tone, but like they offset with jokes, but like the stakes felt high. I feel like between the Guardians, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, that there's been a lightening of the tone in some of the more recent films. Like,
I can see that, but that might be trying to do to keep the tone a little light before we get really dark.
Oh, I know. I know. So. And, like, I like this movie this way. My mm-hmm. fear is that this being successful will lead other people to say, hey, we should make these other movies like this. You know, not necessarily that I'm worried that Marvel's going to do it, mm-hmm. but that other companies might imitate that approach. You know, just like how Suicide Squad completely reshot half the movie and changed all their marketing after Guardians came out.
Right.
Like,
yeah. I mean,
but Suicide Squad, here's the thing, though.
Suicide Squad's never going to be good, but it was originally going to be a darker movie.
I would argue, though, that, like, in the case of, yeah, exactly. In the case of Suicide Squad, going off context clues of the footage that we do have, like, whatever edits they did, it's not like there was a great movie that was left on
well,
the
no.
cutting room floor as a result.
No.
It was always a bad movie.
Right.
It just got cut into a different sort of bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I think there isn't anything there that could have been better.
I think it very much depends on if they are going to be more superhero movies, like which superhero gets this kind of treatment, because like you guys I agree with you guys that I'm okay with this kind of treatment of, you know, certain superhero films, but it really depends on
It depends on the character.
Exactly. It depends greatly on the character. Like, I'm totally okay with Thor having, like, this great sense of humor along with Peter Quill and, like, some of the others, well, but, like...
I think of it this way. Like, I like the Thor movie this way. I would never want a Captain America movie this way.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, yep. I don't like when, like, there's a particular moment in, you know, it comes down to Age of Ultron, which I did actually like Age of Ultron overall. I know that there are people who disagree with me, but I did. But I took a look at the way that I don't like the way that Joss Whedon writes Captain America.
Joss Whedon does not.
He writes him like a farm boy, not like a guy from Brooklyn.
Yeah, Joss Whedon has no.
Is he from Brooklyn or is he from? Yeah, he's from Brooklyn.
It doesn't add up.
He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He's from Brooklyn now.
Yeah. Like.
Joss Whedon has no concept on how to write Cap. He doesn't get the character at all. Honestly, I also think he has no concept on how to write Black Widow, but that's.
And
it's painfully apparent that he didn't even look at what was going on with Winter Soldier, because there's no way you can look at how those two characters interact in Age of Ultron and tell me that that's the same relationship they had in the previous movie. You can't. It's not there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's not. But.
Yeah, it's, but it all comes back to, like, there's a prominent joke in Age of Ultron where Cap calls out, like, the language joke.
So dumb.
And I'm like, that doesn't seem like something Steve would actually care about.
He's a World War II vet, Joss. You ever watch Band of Brothers?
Like, right? Like, he would have been so used to swears.
He grew
Are you trying to make he's old joke? You can make that totally other ways.
He grew up in a poor... He's not suburban. Like, the whole, like, clean language thing is such your suburban grandpa, not a, like, who's then lived through the 50s and 60s. Not the, you know, the guy who went straight from World War II to modern times, who grew up in a poor neighborhood, who, like, you know, like,
he probably knows some swears that, like, we don't use anymore.
Right. Oh my god, he definitely does.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He went from a war zone to modern times immediately. He didn't have any of those middle steps of, like, white bread into the neighborhood. Like, and so that's why when I say, like, I worry about how things get adapted and how things will shift with other writers and things like that down the line. Now, Whedon is no longer writing in the MCU, so it's not so much a, you know, an issue.
See, for Thor is the one who I think you have legitimate concern over what's going to happen with Infinity War, because thankfully Infinity War, at least part one, is the same, are the Russo brothers, the same ones who did Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so Cap will be fine.
So yeah, but I mean, that's the thing though. They have a good handle not just on Cap, but frankly on they've demonstrated that they understand how to write Widow, how to write Iron Man, how to write Ant-Man, Falcon. All those characters are going to be fine.
Yeah. If Tony's development in Civil War had gone over to Spider-Man Homecoming.
This is also...
I love Spider-Man Homecoming. I think it's a phenomenal movie. Tony, it, like, really feels like Civil War never happened to Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, that's fair.
He and Pepper are just back together with no explanation. Like, because in Civil War, it really seemed like she'd left him.
Uh-huh.
But I guess they made up. And I guess Tony, whose whole fit over, you know, people acting without government oversight is just so much better now with, like, a teenager. To be fair, the Sokovia Accords they're all about people acting internationally, and everything that Peter does is within the confines of the United States.
Of Queens, mostly. I mean,
yeah.
to be
right,
fair.
But like the whole point is that the MCU version of the Sokovia Accords require registration and then not causing an international incident. And mm-hmm. you can say, well, how did Ant-Man then end up in the prison? Well, I can tell you that, well, they had that big airport fight in another country.
Also, Ant-Man did kind of trade blows and directly fight an enforcer of the U.S. government, so, or the United Nations, or whatever. Tony was a deputized official of some governmental organization, and Ant-Man fought him. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think that the Sokovia Accords are going to be this thing that in 5 years, no one's going to remember to even mention in the movies.
Hey, just like Civil War in the comics.
Hey-o! Oh, well, you know, Thor had a light tone. And, you know, while the most part, I hope DC doesn't accidentally take that and apply it to their characters like how they tend to copy Marvel. Except maybe there is one character who they could probably should do with a lighter tone.
Yeah, definitely. And that would be the upcoming Shazam movie, which, okay, this, it's been announced. I can't do a nice little, like, segue. I'm just going to say
it's
it.
All good.
My brain can't do it right now. So Zachary Levi has been announced, cast as the adult that Billy Batson transformed into, the other Captain Marvel.
The OG Captain Marvel.
What,
right?
What?
We're not sure whether he's going to be called Captain Marvel or just go by Shazam or whatever.
They do that in the cartoons now, so.
Yeah,
just to, like, differentiate.
Well, it's because, well, they own the copyright on their version of the character Captain Marvel and can call him Captain Marvel in the context of comic books. They can't, they don't have the trademark on Captain Marvel, so they, obviously the movie's going to be called Shazam and not Captain Marvel, because that would also be super confusing with the Brie Larson movie. They want to be able to put the character's name on toys, which they can't
and
do.
Legos.
There's, like, trademarks with superhero names are so confusing. Like, when The Incredibles came out, they, the Elastigirl toy was labeled Mrs. Incredible because Elastigirl was a trademark superhero name by one of the big two. I forget who owns it. But I'm betting DC. But it could go either way. Because DC likes their stretchy people. Although, to be fair, so does Marvel. There are too many stretchy people.
Plastic Man is the best.
Plastic Man is the best.
Right. I prefer Elongated Man every day because...
You know,
he's
Elongated
a better detective.
Man, I'm going to give him... I'm going to compare cartoons because this is what I'm going to have to do. Yes, Elongated Man was in one of the best Justice League episodes, this greatest story never told, which is mostly a Booster Gold episode, which makes it wonderful. However, Plastic Man was one of the main recurring characters in Batman the Brave and the Bold, which gives him way more points in my book. Plus, in the current Justice League action, he's played by the same guy who played Master Shake in Aqua Teen, and if that's not great, I don't know what is.
Well, Elongated Man is now on the live-action Flash.
Yeah, but he's not in Batman Brave and the Bold, so...
All right. But so, yeah, so Zach Levi, who was in Thor Ragnarok briefly, as he plays in Asgardian in the Thor movies. Well, the second and third, not the first one. In the first movie, he's played by the guy from Once Upon a Time because Zach Levi was busy shooting Chuck during the first Thor movie because that's how long ago the first Thor movie came out.
Holy crap.
I feel, yeah. MCU's going to turn 10 next year.
That's, I don't like that. I feel old.
Yeah.
How are we going to explain to people what order to watch these effing movies in?
release order?
Yeah, but I mean, like, most people aren't going to just look up, huh, I wonder what year this came out. They're going, I already know people who are confused, okay?
We should just, like, write a pamphlet or something, just like...
Or you can just pull up the Wikipedia page.
Right?
Yeah, it's the only, it's going to be the only way to figure this crap out soon.
Well, and they have box sets of by phase.
Yeah.
I have never once seen one of those box sets in person, though.
I want
to, and I go to Best Buy, like, at least once a month. I've never once seen one.
I keep wanting to buy them because I like owning my favorite TV series. That's what the MCU is. Anybody who, like, anybody pretending this is a film series at this point is just wrong. No, it's a very long, it's a very spread out television series with 2 hour long episodes. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
You're right.
Yeah,
I agree.
And it's going to, So anyway, Zach Levi is going to play Shazam. Solomon, Hercules.
So I think there's an important question, though, that needs to be asked. So we know Zach Levi is playing Shazam, the captain himself. But I think the real important question that we need to discuss right now is which one of the Stranger Things kids is going to be Billy Batson?
How did I know you'd go there?
That's just... I'm sorry, I'm asking it now because if I were, now granted I don't work for Warner Brothers and they've made a lot of other terrible decisions, so maybe I shouldn't be assuming that they would have this kind of thinking, but if I worked for Warner Brothers, I would be calling up the agents of those kids and trying to get one of them as my Billy Batson.
Well, either the kid who plays Finn or the kid who plays Will. Like, those are the two, because...
Named Finn, who plays Mike.
Mike, yeah. Well, actually, it's the character is Mike. The credited name is Finn, but Finn is actually composed of a swarm of bees.
Oh, okay.
it's very careful editing around that. Interviews are very awkward. Yeah. No. Sorry. It's been a weekend, man.
It's all good.
Okay. Yeah. The kid who plays Will. And obviously, like, you know, because we would have cast a non-white actor if it was going to be the kid who played Lucas, right?
Probably.
For the adult instead of, you know. Dustin, I love that guy. I don't know, actually. But I think, okay, so...
He could do it.
The reason I'd go with either Mike or Will is because either Mike... seems he plays the much more engaged, like there's a cleverness behind the performer's eyes and that I like, and also, but on the other hand, the guy who plays Will is really good at looking terrified all the time, which seems like the exact sort of way that kind of like I like to think of my Billy Batson is completely fucking lost. Sorry for my language. There goes monetization on this video.
Every time. Anyway.
Oh, but yeah, it's
I know part of it is me just saying that to be a smartass, but I do think it's sincerely it would be good casting.
Well, you know, but to go back to Zach Levi, I'm really actually kind of excited that that's the direction they chose to go, because like a lot of people were like, there were like suggestions for like John Cena or like
John Cena would have been a good way to go.
He would have, but like a lot of like larger muscled guys versus like, well, Zach Levi, I really like because one, he's got a similar build to Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want the counterpoint to Superman, that often you use Shazam as that, like he's a much similar build and a better facial structure, but also then he's got really strong comedic chops. Which, like, he can look handsome enough and, like, more believable if that's what a kid's fantasy would look like, but he also has the acting chops to be able to turn his face the way a kid in those situations would.
Mm.
So I think he's exactly the kind of actor who we need to, you know, put in that role.
I'm excited. I'm also excited because the idea of his enemy, you know, getting to see him go down with Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Black Adam.
Well, I don't even I don't think Black Adam's even going to be in this movie.
It's stupid to not have him in the movie. I'm going to say it right now. Why would you even cast Black Adam if you're not going to put him in the Shazam movie?
Because they're going to make a Black Adam movie.
But that's stupid, too. DC, no one gives a crap about Black Adam.
The Rock does.
You know, that's nice. Guess what?
Ever notice it's how stupid. Similar Dwayne Johnson looks to The Rock?
Oh, God. Do you want to tell him again, or should I? I'm just...
For your listeners at home...
DC...
You missed my magnificent, like, face drop of all emotion. Because guess what? I can smell what The Rock is cooking.
Whoa.
It's delicious.
It's soup.
Guys, who am I kidding?
It's gonna be up on my Etsy soon.
Who am I kidding, you guys? Like, we've been... I had hope. I had hope DC might do the right
thing.
We've
gone to... This is the most weird episode.
Like, this seemed like good casting, and then I remember they're doing a Black Adam movie, and then I saw how freaking awful Steppenwolf looks in the Justice League movie, and this is just...
The Carnival of Sadness
just
doesn't end. It's almost turned into the DC's roller coaster of madness. Just like, sometimes it's great and other times
the roller coaster of madness is a featured ride at the Carnival of Sadness.
Yeah.
It's right in the middle of the Midway.
Freaking Tantalus field here, where they give us a Wonder Woman movie. That seems like it's such a great idea. Oh, look at this. Look at this greatness he can ascend to. All right. Welcome back to Justice League, asshole. Boy, oh boy, I can't wait for another Barry Allen who doesn't look or act like Barry Allen.
Hey, to be fair, at least the Flash TV series gave us a Wally West also.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I already have one, and I like him. I don't need two. I especially don't need one who's, look at me, I'm Mr. Jokey Joke. You guys say you want to do battle, but I don't battle.
No,
I'm
you want
Flash.
A Jokey Joke speedster. Just, like, shove Impulse in there.
I'm the Flash!
What? Impulse, so we want to get, like, Bart Allen in here? What?
You know what? Yes. Let's get Bart Allen in.
Let's go back to Smallville. Get that guy. Have him run across dimensions.
I'd rather have him than have another Barry Allen who doesn't look or act like Barry Allen.
I like Grant Gustin a lot as the Flash.
I like Grant Gustin too.
I want to be really clear that I'm okay with never... I hate real Barry Allen so much that I like all of our non-Barry Allen, Barry Allen, so I'm not going to complain.
I like Barry Allen when he's written by good writers like Jeff Johns. I'm going to say that much. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Grant Gustin's Flash, but everything that I'm seeing of Ezra Miller is Diet Grant Gustin.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
is
what they're doing.
Not something anyone wants to be.
It's being like, hey, everybody likes that version of the Flash, but we can't use that actor. Let's imitate it as much as possible. All I'm saying is that, so Justice League is going to be, like, their whole litmus test for whether or not, how well Justice League does is going to determine whether or not really where the Flash movie happens. And all I can say is I don't want the Flash movie to happen. Like, this is my what I want. All I want. Like, yeah, you can put the Flash in your little Justice League movie. Fine. But, you know, all I want you to do is just do it like the Hulk in the Marvel movies. You know, they can't make a Hulk movie because of the rights tie-up with Universal, right? Just never have the Hulk show up in his own movie. Just have him show up in other people's movies. Do it with the Flash. Have the Flash show up in all your Justice League movies. Have him show up in, you know, this movie or that movie. That's fine. Just don't give him to me anywhere else. You know?
I know. I'm just had to get that off my chest. I'm just really frustrated. There's just so much to this. This whole universe is such a mess, and it deserves to be better, and Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman deserves to exist in a better DC universe. Maybe if she could wander, if they could break that dimensional rift and she could just wander over the CW verse where they not have a budget, but at least she could have good stories.
We are 50 minutes in and we really need to move on to the next story.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's move on. Screw it.
It's okay, we can go back to complaining about streaming services, Nick.
Oh, great.
No.
So we've already gotten our streaming service thing out of the way. I'm not going to complain about it much. I'm not going to complain about it more. We all know how we feel. But admittedly, I think this is a good idea. The show, not the streaming service. CBS All Access wants to bring back the Twilight Zone. And apparently they want Jordan Peele to be the showrunner on it. Cool.
Well, he wouldn't be the showrunner.
Oh, okay.
Read the whole story. Not just the quick bit.
We're all having a good week, Trey. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Jordan Peele, it's been confirmed because Les Moonves said it himself in an earnings call that CBS All Access is going to reboot The Twilight Zone, but we don't know if it's in development or if there's an actual series order. That's literally all we know officially out of CBS's mouth. What the rumor is that Jordan Peele's production company, Monkey Paw Productions, would be the ones making it. And so Jordan Peele would be serving as a producer. And then there's another guy who'd actually be writing it. I don't have the stuff in front of me, but that other guy would be the showrunner.
I'm still really good at this.
He's the guy who showran Daredevil Season 2, I think.
Oh, neat. Okay.
If I'm remembering correctly.
We could use The Twilight Zone again. I like anthology shows. I like creepy anthology shows. That'd be fun.
Yeah. But
let's bring that back.
Yeah, Ramirez. Yeah, Marco Ramirez. He's totally the guy
I'm excited for new stories and not just rehashes of the old ones.
Well, that is the advantage that the Twilight Zone's an anthology series, so you can remake the Twilight Zone without remaking any of the old episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's got to be an independent story anyways. And with the success of other anthology shows out there, it makes sense.
Black Mirror and such. Yeah.
It makes sense as a choice. It would be on CBS All Access, which, to be fair, would be a reason for someone to actually sign up for
more than
CBS.
One show,
right? Like, so if they ran the Twilight Zone at times when they weren't running Star Trek, it would actually, you know, encourage me to sign up for the program, right? I mean, that's like, keep like, not cancel my subscription if, oh, okay, Star Trek is done, oh, the Twilight Zone started. Like, because the reason why I extended my Showtime subscription a little past the end of Twin Peaks was because the new season of Episodes started. It was the final season of the show, Episodes, which, if you have not watched Episodes, you should watch Episodes. It's a joint Showtime-BBC production. I think it's BBC, some British network. Stephen Mangan's in it. Matthew Perry, Matt LeBlanc, wrong friend. Matt LeBlanc plays himself.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's super good. And if you
talked about it when he was on Top Gear.
Yeah, if you're ever a fan, if you ever like watched any American remake of a British show, and you're familiar with the original show, the entire series will, because the premise of the show at the beginning is that these two, this married couple who are a pair of television writers from the UK, their show gets optioned by an American network to be remade for American television, And as part of the deal, they come over to be the ones to remake it. Everything just kind of happens from there. Including how, you know, it's a great send-up of the American television industry. And it's hilarious. And that, but my point is to go back to why I mention it is because that is why I extended my Showtime subscription, was to wait through the end of that. So if this aired opposite Star Trek, you know, like, and I mean opposite, like as in the different times of the year, that would probably get me to not cancel my CBS All Access subscription, like I'm going to do for the month of December.
Indeed.
If streaming services could be, like, smart, maybe we'd actually hang on to them.
Well, it's like Netflix. The reason why Netflix is successful is because the amount of original content they're making. They're estimating that in a few years, Netflix is estimating that over half of their content is going to be original content on Netflix in a few years. That over half of the stuff on the streaming service. And it's because they're literally investing billions in content production, because they see the writing on the wall that the Hollywood system is jealous of the money that they're making, and so they're not being, like, especially see with the Disney deal. We saw this happen before with Starz leaving Netflix. All of these deals, like, people, they don't want, it's becoming harder and harder for Netflix to license content. And so Netflix has to create value on their own to make people sign up and pay the money. And they're doing that. I mean, it's Stranger Things is one of the most amazing shows ever made, in my opinion. And it came out of nowhere last year. Like,
loving it.
Like, I remember when I stumbled across the trailer for the first season of Stranger Things. I was posting it for the site, and I was like, I had no idea this series was happening. Like, Winona Ryder? And then I didn't watch it immediately. Like, I'm one of the people who knew about Stranger Things before it aired, and I didn't watch it for, like, weeks. I was like, oh, well, maybe, like, oh, it's interesting, I forgot about it. And then the internet went insane for the show. Like, this is the opposite of a hipster story. It's like, I technically knew it was a thing that was going to happen before everyone else, yes, but I didn't get into it until after everyone else. Like,
right.
Oh.
And, yeah, and now, of course, so when season 2 came out, like, Ego's doing, like, promotional shit that's, like, unofficial tie-ins that, like...
That's amazing.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, that's, it's crazy. It's good, but crazy.
Yeah, so I mean it's good that to loop back to the CBS part, like, it's good that CBS All Access is coming up with original content. I think that the Twilight Zone is the perfect thing to reboot, and if Jordan Peele were, if his company was behind part of it, I think it would be a really good influence. Like, so the problem is that anytime Jordan Peele's production company gets involved with anything, even if he's not the lead creative voice, every single news outlet reports it as Jordan Peele is gonna do X thing. And you end up reading the story, and it's like, no, this other guy working for Jordan Peele wants to reboot it, and Jordan Peele's paying for it. Like,
oh, he's still a good dude to run it.
Well, I know. And it's like, if anything, we know that the guy can do creepy horror.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But, like, it's... And so I'm excited for Twilight Zone, and the guy actually show running it has done lots of good stuff. It's just that, like, he's not getting any, like, the guy's getting no love. And, like, he's, like, done multiple shoot series for Netflix and, like, all this stuff. And yeah, anyways, I think it's time to move on to the weird.
Yeah, let's go
thing.
To the weird thing.
So, there's no good way to transition into our Consi news this episode, because we're talking about something that happened in Libya this weekend, where an armed group shut down a local Libyan Comic-Con in Tripoli. So the Special Deterrent Forces, the SDF, arrested the organizers of a Libyan Comic-Con. And it's the SDF is a loyal group, is a militia. It's an independent militia, but it's loyal to the UN-backed Government of National Accord. Libya is kind of a weird thing. It was the second Comic-Con held in Tripoli. Hundreds of people went. But the SDF, went in, started arresting people on behalf of the government. There are reportings of organizers getting beaten along with attendees because the attendees were wearing badges that for the convention that the SDF mistook attendees for organizers. 6 members of over 20 people were arrested. 6 members of the main organizer committee are still under arrest right now. And it's some of these people are being beaten. They were told that Libya is a Muslim country, not a free liberal country. And it's a quote from the Libya Herald. The statement from the SDF, according to this article by the BBC, a statement from the SDF said such events were, quote, derived from abroad and exploit weakness of religious faith and fascination with foreign cultures. So, yeah, it's this is, it's a small comic convention with just a couple hundred attendees, and oh my God.
What the hecky hey?
Yeesh.
Yeah, and this Libya has been kind of a mess, obviously, since the overthrow of Gaddafi. Kind of been locked in kind of a constant civil war. But yeah.
Still. Damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we all head out to conventions over the next month and months and year, let's remember that not everyone has the freedom to celebrate their fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
sad truth.
Yeah, it's so messed up. It's just I don't really have a whole much, a whole lot more to add.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm just yeesh.
Fact that criticizing people looking at drawings as, offending public decency is just ridiculous.
Well, the article does say some dressed up as characters, but
yeah, there's cosplay. Yeah,
I don't know. I just
really what it is that it's fear of Western it's fear of foreign influence. That's yeah. Really what it comes down to is it is repressive right wing conservatives are a problem for everybody. But I have a strong opinion.
Fair.
I don't have I don't know if we can really add much more beyond.
Yeah,
holy
not
shit.
Really. It's just unpleasant. It makes me sad.
I think I should just read a letter.
Yeah,
let's try to cheer us up.
Let's go to the mailbag.
To the mailbag. We don't have.
There it is. Open it up again.
Okay, so this one is from Gruff McGuff, and subject is Archimice is a spy for the Deciduous Liberation Front.
Oh.
Hi, Nerd and Ty, a longtime eater, second time writer, and continuous never exister Gruff McGuff here with an important message about sneaky, sneaky Archimice. As we discussed last episode, Archimice is secretly a tree. I asked him why he was hiding it, but I may have found reasons beyond his embarrassment over having Dutch Elm. You see, it's been posited that a secret society of trees has been organizing across the nation. They call themselves the Deciduous Liberation Front. The DLF's goal is to destroy life as we know it by enslaving humans and to also get CBS to bring back Jericho for a third season. Ooh.
Pretty scary stuff right
there.
Pretty
devious. I suggest that maybe Arkhamize is a spy for the DLF, infiltrating human society and wiring the blueprints, writing the blueprints for our downfall, writing them. His status as a secret tree sure seems to indicate this. Also, how good was Thor Ragnarok? So good.
Thank you, you non-existent tree hater.
I
think he's onto something.
Oh, I'm going to think of Arkhamize as an ent.
I think he's a spy for the trees, and that they're going to kill us all. And the only way we can fight back is to chop them all down, starting with Arkhamize.
But that's...
Whoa.
That's, whoa. Like, really dumb, though, because trees technically need us to live, because they need the carbon dioxide that we...
They don't need us to live, they just need animals.
Yeah, that's true.
He's blunt, but he has a point.
Yeah.
We gotta get the trees before they get us.
So I guess that's our question to Gruff McGuff, is that what is the Deciduous Liberation Front going to do to replace all the carbon dioxide produced by humans once we're gone?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Question.
A flaw in your logic, man.
Asking the real questions on this show. In God's name. Anyway. Let's go to the other letter. This is from Langland. Message, how's it going, guys? So I checked out Thor Ragnarok this last weekend, and I drove in a winter weather advisory to do so. That's insane.
There are better choices to make in life. I'm just saying.
Overall, I really liked the movie. It was quite funny for me, and I liked the little bromance between Thor and Hulk. We have been teased about this movie for the last 2 years, and I'm happy it's finally out now. I would say more, but it might create many spoilers. However, it does become more apparent as we get more of these Phase 3 movies that we're in for something huge, and it just makes me excited. It definitely was a movie that didn't disappoint, and Stan Lee's cameo is always epic. So yeah, I would give it a 4.5 out of 5 or a 9 out of 10. Maybe even an A- for a grade. But this is my opinion only. That's all I got, guys. You know the deal. Make love, not war. Buy American. And always stay awesome. Later, dudes.
Cool.
Thanks, Langman.
Neat.
Yep. Not much else. I'm glad it's a good movie.
A good movie. Eventually, you will get to see it with your eyes.
And my brain.
Whoa. How insightful. All right, so that moves us on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Yeah.
Well, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge, for those of you who do not know, is the part of the show where I read a line from a book. And the challenge to you, dear listeners, is to guess what book I've been reading from. If you guess the book correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. 1. We read your name aloud every episode. 2. You get listed on our website. 3. There is no third thing. That's it. The current members of the Hall of Awesome are Arkhamize, Zero, Renan Ascenti, Cheesy McDamia, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings, Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lilisaurus, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, The Minnesota Librarians, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, and Sakura Sunset. And now we will continue to read from our current book, which people have not guessed. And here's your line. 3,000 years ago, cried I, when you and I had a warmer job than we have now. If you know a book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com/contact and tell us. Or if you have anything else you'd like to yell at us in that form, just go ahead, type it out, put your words down, and give us your thoughts. Like, why didn't I wear a bandana this week? Why do I keep wearing green? Why does Gen have giant headphones? Why do Nick's look like two silver turtles have clamped themselves to his head? All of these questions may be yours and more, and we'll be happy to tell you about the answer. Just go to nerdandtie.com/contact, do the clicky, 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 on the wordy, wordy, wordies and type it out. Or you can call us, if you're not so much one for writing things down, at 414-375-0480 and leave us a voicemail, and we might play it on the show if we deem it not obscene. you can do all those things because you are a person with your own dreams, hopes, words, thoughts, special relationship with Santa Claus.
Yeah. Santa.
Sure.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I think we should end it.
We should
call it quits.
We should.
All right. Thanks for listening to the show this week, everybody. As always, I am Nick Izumi.
I'm Trey Doran.
I'm Genjiman.
And
go ahead.
I can do it. You can do it.
Please do it.
All right. And remember, you can always support the show directly by sponsoring episodes by going to nerdandtie.com and clicking on sponsor information, or you can support our GoFundMe at nerdandtie.com/GoFundMe. If you want to support, Nick has a Patreon at patreon.com/NickIzumi. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/TREGORN. And Gen doesn't have a Patreon, but does have a Ko-fi account, so you can donate directly to Gen at ko-fi.com/Genjamin, spelled like Benjamin, but with a Gen. And remember, you can subscribe to the show on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, just hit that little subscribe button right now. But if you're listening to the show, you can watch the video version at youtube.com/TREGORN. You can catch all of Nick's videos and video essays at youtube.com/NickIzumi. You can subscribe to this podcast in audio form on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play. Anything that can take an RSS reader can shove it right in there and spit out a show every 2 weeks, because this is a fortnightly affair. And we love you with all of our feet.
Darn straight.
Mine are clean.
Okay. Keep on spocking in the free world. Have a good night, everybody.
My foot!
What the heck?
What are you doing over there?
Oh, God. Oh.
We should all be scared.
We should. Oh, it's a good thing the show ends with the phrase, sound the alarm.
No, kidding.
I don't know. I'm laughing too hard to stop.
Stop.
Oh, there's the stop button. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, Spocket in the free world.
I already said it.
I said it too. I can say words too.
You can't say